This is CliffCentral.com. Read us with Teenage Dirtbag. All right, it is just after 7 o'clock, CliffCentral.com, Monday morning. You're starting your day. It's a five-day week again in South Africa, so everybody's getting back into the swing of things. And there's lots of excitement. Do you know why?
No. Tell us.
There's no public holiday.
No, this has got nothing to do with the public holidays or the elections or anything else. It's got to do with television. There are still people who watch live television, and of course there's Game of Thrones drawing to its close, the second last episode.
Yep, that's what Monday's about, dodging spoilers until you get home.
Oh, you have no idea how difficult that is, because this morning people are talking about how either they absolutely loved episode 5 and it delivered everything, and then I saw one headline where like people hate episode 5.
Well, maybe this is the day you try not be on social media.
Yeah,
like that day of the week.
But I'll tell you what, if you weren't on social media, you'd miss out on the this huge news that Boer Soeke Vrou, which is, of course, one of Leanne and Sia and Ben's favorite shows.
Yes. Well,
long-standing, good
Boer
show.
Boer Soeke Vrou is now going to, for the first time ever, have a gay farmer who's soeking her O.
Ooh. A gay farmer.
Yes.
I mean, this in the conservative community of farming.
Yo,
hey?
Yo, big move.
He's from Bopsfontein.
Wait, is that a real place?
Yeah.
Yes. Well,
oh,
on the map.
I'm sorry. That's
he's 37 years old. His name is Damien. He is a cattle and sheep farmer. So he's not like a flower farmer or anything like that. I mean, you think...
No, he's cattle and sheep.
No.
Hands-on livestock. Sure. So hang on.
Of course he's hands-on livestock.
What's his name? Damien.
Yes.
By a boer named Aini.
But Bopsfontein is, so I guess he's redeemed.
Bopsfontein is just where he is.
Where is that? Pardon my ignorance.
Isn't it like northwestish?
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Leanne will check quickly.
We'll find out now, seeing as he'll now be the most famous of all the
Fonteins. Ekurhuleni.
Okay.
It falls into the Eerlandsvlei Conservancy area.
Yeah.
Wow, good for him. So what's his surname?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Okay, so he's Boer Soeke O. And now, how's this going to work? Because for the chicks, they're going to go for the farmers, accept him. And what are they going to have like?
Well, isn't it? Okay, isn't
I don't know how the show works.
So to be honest, I've never actually watched it.
So every episode there's a boer, right? And then
there's a lot of boere, and there's a lot of vroue.
Yeah, but every episode is a different story. So the boer comes out in one episode, and then these other little poppies then pop out.
Yes.
In his episode...
You know more about this show than we do.
Okay, I did some research on this. So there's usually three poppies per O.
Stop it. Let's get Minky in here. Got to get Minky in here.
She's not involved anymore.
Oh, fuck.
She's now got her own show.
I'm definitely not watching.
Oh, jeez. You really do know more than we do, Gareth. I thought she was still involved.
No, because after you sent this last night, I thought, well, let me see what's going on here so I don't sound like a complete moron like I did with The Bachelor. So... As I understand it, what happens is each boer gets like two or three potential vroue.
I'm just reading the description.
So, but that's every episode,
werklikheidsreeks wat ook internationale sukses geniet, volg hubare boere in hul soektog na liefde.
Right. Yeah, right. Well, that doesn't tell us anything about the format.
No.
Yes, the basic idea is the boer are trying to find wives. Now, look, if this gay boer, obviously you're going to have men apply for this job.
Yes. You have to be 21 and over.
All right. Are you going to enter, Sia? Are you looking for a boer? You've always wanted someone who owns property.
You might be moving to Bubs one day.
Sia, this could be us.
Right. Guys, I feel like I should enter. I do too. Damien, you know, I could look at him and just squint and he'll be my type of guy, maybe. if I squint and I tilt my head, I'll make it work. But they say, okay, so in English, this year's farmers are between 26 and 51 years old, and they were all unveiled over the weekend. So
he's up to 51 years old.
Mm, sure. Can we play this quickly? I've got a little clip from
there. Damien, okay.
Yeah, you want to hear you're going to know something about this dude. So here he is. Here's Damien the boer. All right. He's soeking.
Ek's Damien, woon net hier buite Bopsfontein. boer met skape en goonies en ja, lewe my passie uit. Die goonie is vir my baie mooie ras om mee te boer en elke bees is uniek en elke bees is herkenbaar. En so ek ken die meeste van my beeste, as daar een of twee of drie nie in die kraal is in die aand nie, dan weet ons na watter een om te gaan soek.
So dirty.
Ek probeer om nie te gehecht raak aan my diere nie, maar ja, ek versorg hulle en gee hulle dalk bietjie meer liefde as baie ander ouens.
Yeah,
ek het besluit om op sulke harde inheemse rasse te fokus wat min onderhoud nodig het as dit kom by.
Well, they really go into a lot of detail about his fucking cows, don't they? I mean, this is not the point.
Man's proud of his meat.
Sure.
Die kaasies, inspuitings, inentings. En dis is ek dan nou probeer ek specialiseer in organiese vleisproduksie, want daar is een groot aanvraag vir mense wat nou deesdae ook een gesonder leefstyl wil handhaaf. Want die boer is nou iets wat in jou bloed is. Ek sê altyd is 5.
By the way, he wears the traditional boere outfit, so he's not glamorous.
Yeah, the one that you get at AgriMark.
Yeah, you get those two-tone shirts and...
What were you expecting, Gareth? Feather boas on the plaque.
Ben, you're so full of stereotypes. Just, you know, I was expecting
Of course he's dressed like
that. Just a dark bootleg jean wouldn't hurt.
A jean?
A jean pant.
A jean pant.
A jean pant.
You're really getting into
this. Want het hou my op jou knie. En ek dink as jy so een met die natuur is, dan raak jy lewe vir jou bietjie meer sinvol. Ek dink ons het 'n rustiger lewe ook. En ek dink dis ook om ek nie saak kan verruil vir 'n stadslewe.
He sounds like such a nice
guy. Ek is een sachte mens, maar ook een harde mens. Ek weet wat ek in die lewe wil hê. En ek wil nie settle vir minder as dit nie.
Alright.
Ek dink ons is groot gemaakt as Afrikaners om nie oor jouself goed te wil praat nie. En dis ook vir my partij keer moeilik as ek complimente kry by mense. Mens weet nie wat altyd om te sê nie, maar ek is nou geleer om maar net te sê baie dankie. As iemand vir jou compliment gee.
Okay, he does play the piano, see?
This is musical is book.
No, there it is.
En die lekkerste compliment is om te hoor as iemand jou musiek waardeer. Ek het myself geleer klavier speel en al die jare in 'n kerk orkes gespeel waar my talent maar meer ontwikkel het.
The church thing turns
ek dink die tye raak makliker vir gay boere, maar dis nie iets wat baie makkelijk is nie. Daar is partykeer nou nog hier en daar mense wat hulle wenkbrauw vir jou sal lig, maar daar is ook baie aanvaarding vir dit.
Alright, well there he is talking about that, but isn't that exciting? Okay. 9 of the 10 male farmers are looking for a female companion, the remaining one hopes to find an ideal male partner. So job applications open today.
Oh, he sounds divine.
Yeah,
he's not for you though.
There are 9 others for you, Leanne. But I'm just waiting for all of the memes and the jokes now that'll come from it.
All right, but this does show that there's a... I think this is great, and I'm glad that the show is doing this. And you know what? It'll start spreading a little more acceptance and tolerance and...
Yes, please.
And general decency in a community that's very conservative. So that's great. And I'm not surprised that this is happening. I'm just glad to see that CakeNet are putting it on. All right, what else is going on?
Well, segue that story to denim speedos are now going to be the big thing in Northern Hemisphere summers.
Yep. Excuse me?
Denim speedos.
Denim doesn't dry that well, hey?
Well, Leanne, it's not about function, it's about fashion. Well,
is this for guys or for girls or both?
Guys.
judging by the back acne on this
horrible
model here. Yeah, it's for guys mostly.
Oh, no. I mean, the speedo's bad enough. And then to put pockets on it and studs. It's just not a good idea.
Well, I think they were made just for the name. So it's a Gido.
Oh, stop.
So, you know, now it makes sense.
Like, as in Jean.
As in, where's my Gido? I had it on the couch just a minute ago.
Which country made these?
Gareth, I'm going to go with, I don't know at this stage.
Okay.
Basically, it could be an urban legend, but there's a lot of pictures here, and it is for guys, not for girls.
Is there any reason in the world that you would find this interesting, Leanne? I mean, would you be, if a guy suddenly, like everybody's having a pool party in the middle of summer, and you're invited, and everybody's wearing like board shorts or normal speedos, God forbid, but then someone comes out in one of these... Good, bad, talking point.
Hilarious. Talking point and hilarious.
I mean, Ben
but
used
certainly
to have,
not a turn on.
Ben used to have a Borat costume.
Well, I think everyone had one of those at one stage.
No, not everyone, but you did. And you'd whip it out every now and then and frighten the children.
Yeah, I'd whip it out. I'd also wear it. This Jido, so it's completely, and obviously it's man. There's three different kinds of styles. But then women can get denim onesies now as well.
Okay, so it's just basically this is the... And is it denim or is it just a denim print on Speedo
lycra
fabric?
I think that's what it might be. A denim print on lycra.
In which case, it's just really decorative.
Guys, it's denim.
All right.
It's denim.
Okay, we'll take your word for it. Well, there's always something fascinating going on. Apparently, we were talking about Uber with Anthea just a little earlier. An Uber driver was arrested in the U.S. after trying to lock two women in his car. We hear these stories every now and then. Obviously, you know, it's like we were saying in the hotel business. Sometimes if you book an Airbnb, it's better than you expected. Sometimes it's worse. Sometimes it's downright terrifying.
Sometimes the killer is lurking in the cupboard.
Sure, this is what happens in the free market, and people have to find ways to protect themselves and be safe. But these two women were locked in the car?
Well, firstly, he's not just an Uber driver. He's also been identified as an assistant professor at the Pennsylvania State University's Beaver Campus. No. I mean, how old are we? Anyway, he's facing two counts each of kidnapping, false imprisonment, and harassment. So he had these two women in the car who were taking an Uber, and the driver commented on their looks. Firstly, and then
you look really pretty.
Yeah, and then he didn't follow the GPS directions to the requested address. So eventually, the woman said to him, "You are not following the directions." This guy pulled over in the car park and locked the doors and said, "You're not going anywhere.
Oh, no.
You're not going anywhere."
Everyone's worst nightmare. So what happened?
But just before he locked the door, one of the women pulled the handle and managed to get out and escaped, followed by the second woman. So they ran to police to tell them. They were able to identify him. His name is Richard Lomate. Via the Uber app, they identified him, and he was soon arrested. He has a case on the 23rd of May. An Uber spokesperson has said what has been described is unacceptable. The driver's access to the app has been removed, and we stand ready to cooperate with law enforcement.
Yeah, they've got to act quickly on these things. That would put a lot of people off. I often think, and I said this not so long ago, when you know you walk into a parking lot late at night, if you're a guy, you don't think about your safety. Women have to think about this stuff all the time. And when women get an Uber... You know, if I'm a guy, I could be blind drunk and I could get into an Uber and I know it's going to be fine. Mm. I've got friends who've passed out in the back of Ubers, woke up like an hour later. They're fine. But and a girl, you can't do that.
You think you're safe as a woman going with another woman, but this proves that it doesn't really help.
No, even if there are two of you. Horrible story. Apparently, there's a man who's been wanted by the FBI for sexually abusing young girls. He's decided to turn himself in.
I heard about this.
So you got to wonder, like, what is it that makes the guy finally go, okay, I'm going to do the right thing and hand myself in here.
His name is Wayne Arthur Silsby, and he's been on the run for 23 years.
Ben, didn't you try and sell your bike to him, Wayne Arthur Silsby?
Yeah, something about him. I decided not to do it in the end. Hmm.
But Ben, you weren't a girl between the age of 8 and 10, because that's who's real
not,
victims
not
were.
Not anymore, Leanne. You're right. Well spotted. I'm not anymore.
So this guy at the age of 62 walked into the Oregon City Police Department, turned himself in. The FBI still says it's not clear why he did this after 23 years deciding to stop running. So he faces charges of first-degree sodomy, first-degree sexual abuse, endangering the welfare of a minor, first-degree unlawful sexual penetration.
Oh, my God, what a horrible crime.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure the Americans will be watching closely when the court case starts today. That's his first court appearance. He apparently most recently lived in Nebraska. But he also has ties. He's been all over. He has ties to Springfield, Missouri, the San Francisco Bay Area, Colorado, Arizona, northwestern Washington State. He's been fleeing for two decades.
It really does sound like a plot to a movie, but I wonder how you manage to not get caught for 23 years and put whether they were still actively looking for him or not aside. How do you work? Did he have a different identity? Mm-hmm. Was he just dealing in cash then? Because you can't really have an account if you're using your real name.
People are crazy.
It's actually oddly admirable.
Well,
to do that amazing for 23 years.
That he was able to stay on the run for 23
and
years.
And stay alive.
But even more interesting, why he finally decided, you know what, I'm stopping this charade. Let me go and hand myself in. That's the real question I want to know the answer to.
Yeah.
What makes you eventually go, I think I must give this game up now? That's interesting.
Because he doesn't look all too young. He looks like he's in his mid-40s.
I think they took that photograph that was from a while back because he's 62 now.
Oh, ew. Okay, never mind.
Well, for the first time in 14 years, the Roman Catholic Church has opened up its annual exorcism class in Rome to all the Christian faiths.
I'd love to attend that.
Yeah, in a bid to stem the rising tide of demonic forces around the world. Wait, the idea is to, yes, to help each other to establish a best practice for
because I've never known what to do when I'm approached with someone who's possessed. You know? I've never really known. This sounds like a class for me.
I always just tell them where the toilet is and then just pretend I haven't heard anything else. You're kind of helpful and dismissive in the same way.
Father Pedro Barajon, who's 61, one of the organizers of the 14th edition of what they call the Course on Exorcism and Prayer of Liberation.
Liberation, yes, that's the one I want to do.
Taking place at the Pontifical University of Regina Apostolorum, said, this is the first time different denominations have come together to compare their experiences and exorcisms. The one-week course is taught in Italian. Unfortunately,
well, that's what most of the demons speak in.
Yes, they
do. You know, when they
Italian.
Yeah, and it's $450 between now that's and the 14th.
Worth every penny, I say.
14th of May.
Oh, so it's already started. I'm
sorry. Oh, no, 14th of May. That's
tomorrow.
Sorry.
$450, okay.
So you could get in for one day if you fly to Italy now and you could speak fluent Italian. Many young people display a certain attraction and interest towards themes tied to esotericism, magic, the occult, Satanism, witchcraft, vampirism, and contact with presumed supernatural forces.
Yeah, because we want to see how a person can actually hold a lecture on something that doesn't exist.
Well, you know what? I've always thought that because there are exorcists and they do their work and for some people they're very important.
And for $450 a pop.
Yeah. I mean, you'd probably charge quite nicely if Emily Rose is crawling up the ceiling.
Oh my God.
Like a spider. you could charge money and saying, it's
supposed to be Italian.
I can't speak Italian.
Did you guys? I don't think.
But the point I was getting to is, I suppose you could also just convert, because the best way to stop a demon from possessing you is to not believe in anything supernatural in the first place. I mean, I've always said to people, if you've got a haunted house and you want to sell it, the best person to sell it to is an atheist. Suddenly it's not a haunted house anymore.
It's just a house.
Yeah. But maybe I've simplified it too much. I would love to see an exorcism.
No, thank you.
I'd love to.
Just go to Randburg.
Exactly.
Randburg or someone in the West Rand. They love that kind of stuff.
But
you
also
think happening all the time. Krugersdorp.
The Krugersdorp killers. They were.
Go to Simonstown. They'd love that Satanism kind of malarkey there.
Really?
The Krugersdorp killers went out and killed 12 plus people because they were saying
they were possessed by demons. Mm.
No, they were possessed by a bad run at the Silver Star Casino, but I mean, they put it on something
don't
else.
Say that. No,
a couple of bad nights at blackjack, and they just thought they had nothing left.
All right, so there we go. If anyone's interested, there's a course available if you want to become an exorcist.
Yeah,
I think I'll go really next year.
Okay, we'll put it in your diary, Leanne. $480.
Yeah. Well, here's another call to action. Gareth, your favorite actress, Alyssa Milano, is back in the news.
What's she? Alyssa Milano?
Alyssa Milano back in the news.
Milano?
Isn't that a Nissan?
She's still crying and getting all emotional about the fact that her president isn't Hillary Clinton.
Sophie really dialed it back. She actually was one of the few who coined the term Me Too.
It was someone
who was retelling their sexual harassment story, and then she quoted that tweet and said, hashtag Me Too, share your stories, you know, let's get this thing going. So true to form then, with the recent abortion laws in the US, this all came to light last week. There are new restrictive abortion laws about timing of, you know, is 2 weeks. If you're pregnant for 2 weeks, maybe you can't have an abortion, and. Alyssa Milano is now saying, actually, you know what? Until this changes, we need to do something about it. So she has a new movement going on, folks.
What's her thing, though? I mean, does she have children? Is she... Has she had an abortion? Why has she got this bugbear thing going on about?
She says she wants women to have legal control over their own bodies.
She should have been better on Who's the Boss, then we wouldn't have to hear this nonsense. Like, if she'd made a career after Who's the Boss, if she'd actually got acting jobs, then we wouldn't have to listen to this nonsense.
Well, her new movement is called hashtag sex strike.
Oh, God.
Until women can have control over their own bodies, then no one's allowed to have sex. And the odd thing is, really, I'm sure if it's with sincere intentions, go ahead, Alyssa, but everyone is now saying, nah, girl,
I'm sorry, Alyssa, if somebody approaches me for sex, I'm going to give in.
Most of the feedback
most people aren't, it's a question of like supply and demand, Alyssa, and there's a huge amount of demand and not that much supply, so I don't think people are going to restrict the supply even further. But you go ahead, honey.
So you have to find humor where you can. But a lot of people are saying, great, continue all the good work, but no, I'm not giving up my sex.
She used to be so attractive, and she was one of those really like sweet girls when she was on TV in the beginning. She's become one of these ugly, hardened, battle-scarred feminists who...
Sometimes Hollywood spits you out like that.
Oh, my God, it's so unattractive. I think the sex strike is actually as a result of her just not getting much interest. No, really. This is just unnecessary. And what has it got to do with abortion? The worst thing you can do is tie sex and abortion together. They're totally different things that come from totally different places. She's just got this... There's something bothering her. I don't know what's going on with her. Someone needs to sit her down and say, listen, level with me. What's the problem, Alyssa? Because I don't know any woman who's... No one's run up to Alyssa Milano in the street and gone, I would like you to represent me. As far as I understand, there's no woman in America who's gone to Alyssa Milano and said, here's a mandate from 1,000 of us. Please do this for us.
Be our leader.
Yeah, no one's nominated her. No one's voted for her. She's not running for office. So why is she so passionate about this?
Hi?
I don't get it. Just... Calm down, Alyssa Milano, calm down. Find yourself a happy place. Find yourself a job. Find meaning.
Tai Chi or yoga or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Too late. She's moved by this. So this all came last week after the governor of the state of Georgia, Brian Kemp, signed a bill that would ban abortions if a fetal heartbeat can be detected. It includes some exceptions, though, including if the pregnancy risks the life or poses irreversible physical harm to the pregnant woman. So that's when she says, nah, not going to happen. And she's now even pushing for a lot of production companies that are filming in Georgia to also stop filming in Georgia until something is done about this.
Sounds like we need an exorcism.
No. Well, apparently Google has given $150,000 in free ads to a deceptive anti-abortion group. So it's called the Obria Group. Yep. And the ads suggest that it provides abortion services. Google gave them these free ads.
Yeah.
But in fact, it actually tries to persuade women not to terminate pregnancies. It seeks to deter abortion-minded women from terminating pregnancies. So it's like, come to our clinic, we'll give you an abortion. And when you get there, they don't actually do it.
They just talk you out of it,
yeah. And Google has now found out that this has been going on. Google awarded them a grant in 2015, giving them all this free advertising.
I'm with Alyssa Milano. Like, just don't have children.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Ain't gonna happen.
I mean, don't have sex. Don't have children. Don't have sex, and you won't have children. I'm with Alyssa Milano. Who knew? Look at me, I've come full circle. All right. Hey, hi, Rob. What's happening, dude?
Yeah, what's happening, bro?
Aren't you in the swing of the best time in Europe at the moment, where all the festivals are taking place and Amsterdam's on fire and you're having the best time?
No, dude, but you know what happened is that I burned myself out last year because I did 15 festivals and stuff. And like, unfortunately, this year I'm like kind of growing up, bro. It's actually kind of sad. I'm trying to like improve my life, like monetary wise.
Oh my
stuff
god!
Like that.
Well, you did kind of call us, Rob. Like a few months ago, you were predicting such an upturn in life, and now you're living it.
I know, bro. But it's like it's almost sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm like, who the fuck are you, dude? Like you're supposed to be out there grafting, like as in partying and fucking rails and like dolls, and now I'm like settled down, like with a chick and trying to like start my own company and stuff. So it's really just like a 180 degree, some shit, you know?
Oh, nice. Well, I was going to say you should probably hook up with Alyssa Milano, but it sounds like you've already got someone to settle down with. Who is she?
Yeah, well, you know, actually, guys, you met her, Lou, you know? That
yeah,
chick?
Okay. Still yeah. Lou. This is like a long-term love affair, though, Rob.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, I had to go rogue for a bit, you know? You know in that movie Australia when Hugh Jackman goes out to, like, look for horses and shit? Mm-hmm. Like... He's like on the outback, you know. I kind of had to do that. That was like my 2018. She had to let me loose, and I had to like sort my face to face with my demons.
Yeah.
You know, I had to fight those demons,
right.
Which is just like partying and shit. And then I just like came down to rest, you know. So everything's like kind of chilled out now.
I think she's I think she's a good influence on you because she gives you plenty of leash, and then you go running and you come back eventually of your own volition.
Yeah,
she's.
I mean, look, it's not perfect. Like even this weekend, like we went to this house party with one of her friends, and I was like five levels too deep, just being absolute wildcat, you know, pissing off the balcony and asked me to leave and stuff. So I've still got stuff to work on. You know,
so Rob,
like in all fairness, bro, the bathroom was like full, and I was like, I'm on the balcony, and like no one was checking it out, and I was like, okay, dude, let's pull the trigger on this motherfucker. Anyway,
so you just took a piss right off the balcony.
Yeah, I didn't even hit anyone below, but like there was complaints. I'm not gonna lie.
Were you hit with a rolled up newspaper?
Yeah.
So, what's going on in Amsterdam? Because I've seen, like, the last time you posted something, you were on a boat with a bunch of people in the canals. Looked pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, that was Amsterdam's King's Day.
Yeah.
Sorry, bro, just buying some yogurts here. Thanks, my pal. Okay, yeah, that was King's Day, which happens every year, which is fucking amazing. And that, if you're ever in Amsterdam for something, that's something you should definitely go for. And, like, basically, it's, like, the king's birthday, and everyone just gets absolutely fucked up. And you go on a boat, and then it's just, like, you go back onto the canals, and every bar has, like, a party and stuff. So that's, like, something you can't miss. And, like, another thing that you can't miss is similar is Gay Pride in Amsterdam. That's also, like, one of the best parties and stuff. But, yeah, bro, really, Amsterdam is cool. I mean, it's not, like, there's no protests, you know, around Europe. There's all that shit going on. And Amsterdam's just kind of remained chilled, which is nice. But for how long is it going to stay like that? I mean, I don't know.
Well, it seems to me like the people of Amsterdam are just generally quite happy people. I've never seen a place where everybody is enjoying their lives as much as they are in Amsterdam. It struck me immediately. I was only there for a few days. But it's almost...
But you pick up that vibe. It's very
chill. Yeah, it's unlike anywhere else I've ever been.
I know. And then, but maybe like too chill. Maybe you're not like driven enough because everyone's kind of just relaxed. You know, there's no... What's cool about it is that no one's like, oh, I do this. It's not like so like showy as maybe like other places like Cape Town and stuff. It could be like, oh, what do you do for a living stuff. Everyone's kind of on the same type of level and they don't mind what you kind of do as long as you're cool, which
Tell
is
me,
nice.
Are you in the station at the moment? Where are you?
Yeah. I'm in Central Station at the moment and I'm catching a train to my head office, mm-hmm. which is in a town outside of Amsterdam called Hoorn. Which is like, it's pretty much a shithole, bro. Like, I would only go there for work. I mean, it's not a place you want to take your kids. So,
Hoorn.
Yeah. It's pretty whack, bro. I mean, I think, you know, my theory on Hoorn is that people just go there to die. Because the motherfuckers that come out of Hoorn, bro, they're on their way out, dog. I mean, no one's moving there to live, bro. You're moving there to die, dog. I was just like, what the fuck's going on? Yeah, dude. This is like a big old age home, bro. People are just like, you know what? I've had a crazy life. I'm tapping out and going to Horn, dude. Cheers. Peace and love, bro. I'm taking my demons with me.
How long's the train trip?
It's like 25 minutes. And then usually, well, I'm in the process of studying my bike license. So I whip my laptop out and it's got Wi-Fi. So I like study my bike license and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's just another whole process that I'm doing that I have to ride on the 20th of June. So that's like my biggest goal at the moment, and like starting my own, like, funny Ben that you did Retroactive, because I'm also starting my own like kind of content creation agency and stuff.
Nice.
Like, just got a couple guys together, you know, and we were building the website and stuff. Maybe I'll send you a link. It's called Red Fox Amsterdam, and it's cool. Just like kind of just make content and shit. But anyway, those are my two biggest focus.
Hey, listen, wasn't Gord meant to come and visit you?
He is.
Is he coming?
In June.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. We'll see if that happens. He also said he was coming this Wednesday for the show, but he's not.
Yeah, well, I know. He said he booked the tickets and everything and stuff, so, like, let me see. I hope he does come, because I think it'd be fucking epic to have Gord. Yeah, and I see he's been training, like, fucked up in the gym.
Oh, yeah.
He's, like, looking super good. Well you know.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll still embarrass you.
His life could be so much, like, cooler if he just lost all that weight and, like, you know, he was just getting any dull. He's, like, super funny, you know? It's fucking crazy shit.
Trust me, Rob, he's trying.
All right, very good.
Yeah. Dude, inspirational stories there, bro, but for sure. Mortal Kombat and all.
Yeah, listen, Leanne might be going through to Amsterdam at some point as well.
Yo, bro, Leanne, I know that. I think you've got through, I think I have demons. Like, I thought I was like, hey, Rob, you know, you're pretty wild. But I was like, this motherfucker on some other shit, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you got some mad demons, pal.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
It's been
like
a full life. I'm ready to go to Horn. I'll tell you that much.
I really think Horn's going to be your final resting place, bro. Seriously, dog.
Yeah, no, I'm ready for it.
I thought I was cool.
Every time Leanne opens her mouth to tell another story about something that we don't expect, and Sia just he can't believe it. His face completely drops.
I know. Next thing you'd be like, I buried a man. I'm like, just what the fuck? I'm like, yes. Like, yo, before you go, like, clean out your closet. Just like taking a few husbands, fucking crazy.
Yeah. If she had to clean out her closet, there wouldn't be space left on Earth.
Yeah, that's true.
But at least you're still alive, eh? That's what I always say at the end of the day.
So you basically, are you cleaning out the drugs as well, or what's the story? Are you still going to recreationally?
I wound up in some weird places sometimes, and like, I didn't even know who the fuck I was at some points, you know, just waking up and like, nosebleeds, and then you're like outside your house, not inside. It's kind
of weird.
Have you ever been
at a place where you were molested?
No, bro. I think at that stage when people look at me, I mean, even molesters were like, nah, dude, I think that is where your own fucking problems, bro. Just back the fuck off. I mean, when you wake up and you vomit like more than twice in a week, God. Then you're just like, okay, life's tough, eh? Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one wants to tap that. So I just like get your shit together and like kind of chill. Now I'm just so focused on my thing I want to start and like my bike license. Because, bro, at the end of the day, if I don't get this bike, I don't have like a passion like Ben has golf and, you know, you have being in your office with your dog and chilling out and Leanne has drinking. I don't have like the passion, bro. Like I have like nothing. So I'm going to wind up in a fucking ditch every Saturday and Sunday if I don't get this bike shit. So, you know.
All right, so it's a motorbike, not a bike.
Yeah, it's a proper motorbike.
You don't need a bike, like, bicycle license.
No. You get like a normal license, you get a scooter, but this is like a bike license.
Okay, nice. And are you going to take it around Europe and kind of go on holidays and things?
Dude, as soon as I get that license and get that bike, I'm riding to like Belgium, Germany, like I'm doing. I just want to get a backpack on, a passport, my credit card, and just hit the road. Dude, I don't even know where I'm going, bro. I just want to ride.
Nice. That's beautiful.
That's like my dream, dude. So I will definitely keep you updated. I'm riding on the 20th of June. So, yeah.
What happens.
Yeah, definitely, dude. I will definitely let you know. And then if Gord comes in on Wednesday, then I will try and call in so we can have a chat.
Yeah, I mean, let's plan your holiday because with him and you, otherwise nothing will happen. You'll just both end up smoking weed and passing out in your apartment. All right, thanks,
yeah,
dude.
That's kind of where it's going. Okay, cheers, guys. Okay. Peace and love.
Ciao. Bye. All right, so do you want to know about the best food cities in the world while we're talking travel?
This is another Cape Town article.
No. Best food cities in the world according to TripAdvisor. You know, that's mostly users who, you know, contribute their favorite places, and then the rest of us go on there to find out what people recommend. By the way, I was on holiday with some people, and the one girl was on TripAdvisor the whole time. She wouldn't go to a restaurant unless she checked it out on TripAdvisor first.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got to the restaurant, she'd be pissed off if the picture on TripAdvisor wasn't the same as the food that she was getting. So you can't take these things too seriously.
Yeah. Well, according to TripAdvisor, these are the top food cities.
Mm-hmm.
They also include the most booked food experiences with them.
Okay, let's hear it.
So in 10th place, Bangkok with the Bangkok food tour. In 9th place, Tokyo by night Japanese food tour.
Sure.
8th place, Madrid tapas and wine tasting tour.
That sounds good.
7th, Venice, the Venice food tour, Chichetti and wine. 6th place, New York City.
Yeah.
Best of Brooklyn half-day food and culture tour. Can you imagine how much food there is in that half-day of food tour in the U.S.?
You need the second stomach.
Whoa. 5th place, New Orleans, the New Orleans food walking tour of the French Quarter.
Again, need a second stomach.
Yeah, lots of comfort food. What's that?
Plenty of Cajun.
Yeah, absolutely. 4th place, Barcelona. How amazing. Best place for food in my books. And there you can do the interactive Spanish cooking experience in Barcelona. I think just going to the market there, to La Boqueria, that in itself is a food experience.
Mm-hmm.
3rd place, Paris. The Paris food tour, a taste of Montmartre. Mm-hmm. 2nd place, Florence. You can do a cooking class and lunch at a Tuscan farmhouse with local market tour from Florence.
All right.
And in 1st place, Rome. You can do the Rome food tour by sunset around the Prati district.
Beautiful. Well, you see, if I cared about food, I'd find that fascinating.
Oh, but just to travel to those places. Imagine this was your travel list for the next 2 or 3 years.
No, it would be amazing, and you'd be so fat at the end of it. So fat.
No, a lot of them are walking tours, so maybe not.
Yeah, in Europe, you're always walking, so it balances.
I'd be fat, I'm telling you. That food is so spectacular, and I'm not a foodie, but I appreciate good food. Here's a guy who appreciates eating something else. A Florida man was arrested this week for refusing to remove a sticker on his pickup truck, proclaiming that he eats ass.
Stop.
He's got a pickup truck in Florida that says, "I eat ass."
Oh my God.
And he will not be prosecuted. The man is threatening to sue the sheriff's office for violating his First Amendment rights. Dylan Shane Weeb, who's 23, was stopped on Sunday on a highway in Lake City, west of Jacksonville, by a Columbia County sheriff's deputy who saw a sticker on his rear window that said, "I eat ass." Dash cam footage shows the deputy telling Webb the reason he was pulled over was the derogatory sticker on the back of his truck. "How is that derogatory?" Webb said.
Only in America. I mean, you would never see that in
Florida.
In the UK. I mean, firstly, in the UK, you don't spell ass like that. You spell it the proper way, which is A-R-S-E.
Ass. So he says, this is not derogatory. So the sheriff says, imagine some 10-year-old kid sitting in the passenger seat of his mommy's vehicle and looks over and sees, "I eat ass," and asks his mom what it means. How's she going to explain that? So he goes, that's her job, not mine.
Mm.
Quite right.
Just tell the child it stands for all sorts of sweets or something.
Yeah, that's the thing. Parents always must find a way.
Was issued a summons. Dash cam footage shows the deputy telling Webb that one of his 4 children asked him about the sticker. He'd be furious when the deputy told him to remove one of the letters from the word ass to read as. Webb refused, citing his constitutional right to free speech.
That is more damaging to a child, to see a sentence that makes no grammatical sense. No. I eat ass.
Yes, they'll end up growing up illiterate, which is way worse than growing up knowing about eating ass.
Yes, absolutely.
So, but don't you agree? I always hate that argument of, what if someone's children want to... That's the parent's job.
And also, this is life and the world.
Yes, the world is going to... You know, the internet exists. Do you know that? There's a thing called the internet.
Literal, really.
And you know your children,
more.
One day they're going to go on there when you're not around. And guess what? They're going to find all kinds of depraved shit. Eating ass on the back of a pickup truck is not the most dangerous thing that will happen to your child.
And why, you know, when I think back to my childhood, those were some of the conversations that really bode me well. The what? Ones...
Eating ass?
Not about eating ass, no. Okay. But having those conversations with my parents.
Yeah.
That's where you really... That's yes. a good sounding board if you have good
Correct.
Parents.
Correct. And it makes everybody a little healthier and happier.
And conversations slightly awkward. When you have to talk about eating ass and
possibly.
What it is. Well, here's a place I will not be visiting anytime soon, nor intend to. It's the Jubek State in South Sudan, because they're also on the road to banning certain things.
What are they banning?
Gays.
No, they probably already banned gays. No. Here's something new. They're now banning nightclubs, daytime alcohol sales.
Yeah.
And also don't want anyone to book into a hotel unless you can produce a marriage certificate. So that's if you're traveling as a couple.
Oh, my word.
So, yeah, so there we go. Leanne and I were going there and we wanted to share a room because it was expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We
can't
would
do
have
that.
To, we'd have Not to produce allowed. A marriage certificate if we wanted to share a room. Otherwise, we'd have to use
And what it. Happens if I was going with my brother? Would I have to produce ID to... prove that he has the same surname as me or what?
Yeah, probably.
Well, this is what the
and
president...
No alcohol sale during the day and yes. no nightclubs at all.
Mm-hmm. So this is what the president, Mr. Salva Kiir, says for
He's the, guy wears the
Juba region.
He wears the cowboy hat.
Yeah. How did you know? That's quite his trademark, right?
That's his thing, yeah.
So the Juba state starts off by calling them discos. This is on the point of nightclubs.
Sessions.
This is their official statement. They want
we
to
do not want you
stop
to go
the
to
discos.
A disco.
And yeah. also to stop opening the bars during the daytime. So now bars will now be open from 5 p.m. to around 10 p.m. And nightclubs are totally banned. The reason behind this, they say, because what is happening there is really very dangerous for
Immoral.
The future of this country.
You want to hear some South Sudanese music?
I mean, that makes you want to go to a disco right there.
Actually, it really does.
Or day drink.
They say, you cannot imagine the young girls, 12 years, 13 years, you get them in disco areas and some places, even the lodges inside the town, they use something called takeaway. These are young girls, takeaway. You cannot imagine human beings, we name them to be taken away. Well, I don't know, they say this whole thing is just destroying the future of the coming generations. So they've passed all of this and they continue to say, again, we passed a resolution that we need to introduce, especially in the hotels. If somebody comes to a hotel with a girl or woman, he must produce the marriage certificate. This is what we want to introduce.
Shut up.
They want to
people trying to
shit ideas. Come on, just stop
people
it.
Trying to legislate morality. This always goes badly.
They want to make this national law. So let's see how that works.
Always goes badly. All of it.
Yeah, do all of those eating tours elsewhere. Don't do it in South Sudan.
Right.
Goodness me.
Because things will probably be closed by the time you get there.
I don't know about you, but I'm not hurrying off to South Sudan anytime soon.
Well, I don't think a lot of people are, Gareth.
Wasn't much on my list, really, to be honest.
No.
Now that they're closing the disco, I'm definitely not
no,
going.
What? No disco?
Daytime drinking is absolutely amazing. Right, Leanne?
Daytime drinking is the only reason Sia wakes up in the morning.
It's the best kind of drinking, especially when you're older.
So here's an interesting story if you want something serious this morning, because we've talked a lot of shit as well. But poverty is not a result of the lack of resources or opportunities, but of poor institutions, poor government, and toxic politics. It's according to Angus Deaton. Apparently, only the rule of law can break the poverty cycle. So people are often concerned for, and rightly so, for those among us who have less and who are unable to get out of the poverty cycle. And there are, of course, a couple of reasons why they might have found themselves in that in the first place. But there's an interesting article that I read just the other day about how you stimulate economic growth in poor countries when they have faulty institutions. Now, in the past, a lot of people thought foreign aid was the answer, but as we found out over the past 60 years, foreign aid cannot spur growth in countries that have no rule of law, no property rights, or no accountable government.
No, because that aid will just be swallowed up and not be accounted for.
And it'll usually go to corrupt politicians. Mm. Now, in many places, the Democratic Republic of Congo is a prime example, with billions of dollars in aid stolen by a rapacious government. Meanwhile, ordinary people are just as poor, if not poorer, as they were in colonial times. Institutions, like the rule of law, are an important component of social and economic development. Faulty ones must be fixed. The problem is how. So they spoke to a couple of professors, a guy called Daron Acemoglu, who's from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and James Robinson from the University of Chicago, on what they've put together as a definitive account of the importance of good institutions. It's called Why Nations Fail: The Origins of Power, Prosperity, and Poverty. And it's a good book to read if you're one of the people who's interested in those things. Hmm. And it basically shows you how if the rule of law is brought in, everything in society improves. If the institutions are credible and people believe in them, then everything gets better for those people. And it is the best way for people in those societies to improve their lives and get out of the poverty cycle. Isn't that interesting?
Hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so there's some serious stuff for you for this morning if you were looking for an academic thesis to pay attention to.
Thanks. That is what I will quote in the week ahead.
Good book to read. All right, so just because it is supposedly news today, Leanne and Sia are going to give us an update on what's happening with James, Charles, and Tati.
Yes.
If you don't know what this is, you need to listen to the first podcast for this morning, the first hour's podcast for this morning.
The numbers are still being flung up on Tati's account and down on James Charles's. So where they started with a difference of approximately 6 million subscribers, the difference is now down to 5. Sorry, 10. They started with 10 million subscriber difference. Mm-hmm. They're now down to 5. So Tati is currently on almost 9 million followers, and James Charles is
9 million subscribers.
Sorry, yes. And James Charles has just gone into the 13 millions from 16
million. And believe it or not, this is a makeup feud.
Welcome to 2019.
Yeah, a makeup feud.
Yeah.
This is where, you know, our ancestors used to fight on the field of battle, and the cost was human lives and territory. Now it's about who gets the makeup subscriptions and who gets the endorsements from the big makeup companies. Isn't that fascinating? Aren't you glad to be alive now? There aren't real, people don't have real problems.
Gosh.
The biggest danger to someone like James Charles is losing his subscribers.
And if you do follow these sorts of content producers, then you'd be interested to watch Jeffree Star's latest video where he takes you into his pink vault.
Okay.
Oh, my word.
It's 25 minutes of your life you'll never
what
get
is
back.
A pink vault?
Okay. Jeffree Star is
go
like
down
this,
the wormhole.
Right. Jeffree Star's the bigger of these guys, the biggest.
You'll love the look of Jeffree Star if you just Google him. Her, I think.
He does identify as male.
Okay. If you Google him, I think you'll appreciate looking at Jeffree Star, Gareth.
Please, can I see a picture of Jeffree Star?
Just horribly pink hair, tattoos right up
What's
to...
What's the pink vault, though?
But, okay, so big in makeup, and he has his own brand, so really, really wealthy. And now, because he has so much, like, clothing and expensive handbags, has now converted his closet into a pink vault because, you know, has many prized and expensive items.
Oh my God.
I wish I could look at your face like that
God,
every day.
Oh my God, oh my God.
It's,
he's
yeah.
at the top of the food chain when it comes to
makeup.
Mm-hmm. All of this, yeah.
He looks like a villain in a really bad B-grade movie.
He looks quite what, scary.
Like Eric Roberts.
And he can be quite scary. I mean, you don't want to mess with Jeffree Star.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. All right.
Well, so because he has positions in the millions of dollars.
How do you feel about life today?
Yeah, my life has not very much been improved by this morning. I hope you've managed to gather some small amount of value from the show today, and there'll be more tomorrow, so stick around for that. And hopefully, you know, some hardcore stuff. Really, really...
Titty Westbrook.
Powerful, meaningful stuff like who Jeffree Star is.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew this person existed until this morning.
And let me tell you now, it's coming up at the dinner table.
It probably will.
Mm.
It probably will, so maybe you've helped me in some way. I don't know.
I'm sorry I had to, but I did.
All right, let's see. Here is the unnews for you this morning. The ANC have come out of the elections victorious, but tough times are ahead for the members of the party cabinet. Sweeping changes are being predicted, and with that, some members are looking to go down swinging, or more accurately, stealing. So watch your wallets and furniture and office supplies around nervous-looking MPs this week. The IFP are as jubilant as ever after the elections, but of their home province of KZN, drawing many voters away from the ANC. IFP President Mangosuthu Buthelezi is set to address the media today, but the time is uncertain as he is still napping. And finally, Man City have won the league title again. Pep Guardiola says this is his toughest title win yet, and would be tight. And he would be right. Winning this title meant having to party with the Gallagher brothers, you know, Liam and Noel. And after a kilogram of cocaine and pills, he just got home and said, this next season will certainly be his last at the club. That's it from us. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have a good day.
This is CliffCentral.com.